satisfy you.
Welcome to Knotcast, episode 279, Funeral Strippers. Yay.
We're really calling it now?
Yeah, why not?
Oh, okay, whatever.
what were you going to call it,
Jason? I thought you had a title on FA, but okay, we can explain the funeral strippers thing.
Well, con strike back. We got a few emails to that topic as well. No, funeral strippers. Apparently China does not appreciate funeral strippers being brought to funerals. Apparently it is a funerary practice in China that the larger the crowd at your funeral, the more respect you have.
Mm-hmm.
And China, being the enemy of fun, has said, you really should stop doing that. And apparently this has been going on since about 2006.
Hmm.
Yes, it was in the Wall Street Journal. China says, please stop hiring funeral strippers. I wait for the website to load on my old-ass pad here. Because apparently, you know, stripping, women taking off their bras and whatnot in front of mourning women and children is not a good deal.
Yeah.
You probably shouldn't do that. Yes, according to a statement from the Ministry of Culture on Thursday, the government plans to work closely with the police to eliminate such performances, which are held with the goal of drawing more mourners. The explanation, the point of inviting strippers, some of whom perform with snakes, was to attract large crowds to the deceased's funeral, seen as a harbinger of good fortune in the afterlife. It is to give them face, one villager explains, otherwise no one would come. So it's like, ah, oh, you're dead. It's like, I was a total shithead in life, but if I get strippers, my funeral will be a big old party.
Woo, party!
Woo! Anyways, I'm Saverin.
I'm Foss Wolf.
And Shiva is preparing for her trip, so she is not here this week.
She tripping balls, yo.
Yeah, and she's got a pair. Because she's a cat. Right. Yes.
Yeah, man. Oh, I should turn my phone's thing.
Yeah, you probably should. So yeah, we got a couple topics this week. We don't have a ton of emails, but we do have a couple topics where things have come up into our field of view, and we're like, we got to talk about this shit. First of all, OMG tracing. Tracing is a serious art crime. And tracing is seen as an even more serious art crime when you've made like 150 grand off of it.
Is it worse than, like, Hitler's paintings in terms of art and shitty people?
Hey, Hitler didn't trace.
So this guy is, in this one aspect, worse than Hitler.
Yes, in this one very specific art aspect, he is, in fact, worse than Hitler.
Oh, my God.
So this is just really incensed a bunch of folks, and this is a pony thing. So all you furries, you can be like, ha, look at these weirdos in this other fandom. They've got drama. I'm sure this has happened in the furry community too, but not to this scale.
Mm-hmm.
So this guy basically has spent the last 2 years with his obnoxiously large, gaudy booth full of merch, made and printed in China in some regards, full of his eerily show-accurate stuff. Because, and this was something that was brought up by the guy's own fans off his own Picarto art stream, that he was just straight up fucking tracing a picture. He had a still from Pony and was tracing over it to be put into a comic that would then go up on Patreon, which the motherfucker was getting 16 grand a year from.
Whoa. Okay.
Yes. This guy had about 300 bucks a week from Patreon, which the comics were posted to support.
Right.
And
now, what was the name of the comic again?
It was just random. It was just random weekly comics.
Because he this guy said something wasn't
Adapting Tonight, I think it was. Which is another fan comic he was working on / is working on. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But this guy was basically turned in by his own fans, and it has been this massive blow up. Well, because, I mean, you expect, all right, look, people are going to draw close to the show style. That's expected. Some people want that. Some people want their own style.
Yep.
And there's artists out there that don't monetize, that even if, like, okay, there's vector artists who vector out things for the show for use in comics and whatnot. They don't charge money for it. They do it for free. And then there's people who have close to show style, but it's all their own work. This guy was basically taking stills and tracing over it and putting it on product. Everything ranging from fucking iPhone cases to big-ass blankets he charged $150 for to backpacks, all this other stuff. And people are like, you know, if those idiots are dumb enough to buy that stuff, they deserve to be fleeced. Well, no, they don't. I mean, it's basically – and it puts everybody in a weird position too, because this guy made a ton of money and went to a ton of cons. So it's actually resulting in a lot of conventions having to be like, no, you can't do this anymore. And it's caused a lot of cons to look, have egg on their face, too, because this is a person who came in and would dominate, like, how to draw panels.
Apparently it's pretty fucking easy.
Yeah, apparently it's pretty fucking easy. You just get a picture from the show you like, and then you trace it and you incorporate it into your comics. It's just... Has there ever been a furry artist that's done this? I mean, there's been tracers. I know that, but I don't think anyone's ever gone to a con with traced shit.
I don't really recall anything on that scale, you know? Like, yeah, people have been like, oh, this person used these backgrounds from Google, and this other person clearly traced this reference picture.
Or this pose, yeah.
Or this pose or something. I haven't seen it blow up on the con circuit in a big way. Not that I can recall, anyway.
And funnier, actually, this relates back to furry. This guy had recently started trying to do, like, adult stuff. And the references, quote, references, I'm saying with quotation fingers, because probably traced them too, are based off Wolfie Nails art.
Oh my God! Really? Jeez!
Yeah. Oh, it's just, and everyone's like, "Well, if you could just look and see, you know, why didn't you do anything? You know, why these other artists that are in vendor halls, why didn't you say anything? These conventions, why didn't you say anything?" And this is a situation where nobody wanted to be the tallest nail. Where, you know, basically you had this guy had a big following, and you know, you don't want, as a con, you don't want people. His, you know, directing a negative PR campaign against your convention without proof. And then, or if it's another vendor, oh, you're just mad because they're competition.
Yeah.
This is one of those things that, you know, there'd been plenty percolating under the surface, which unfortunately had never been brought to our attention. And a lot were like, but you never told us. We can only fix problems we know about. And they're like, well, what would you have done? And I was like, well, we would need proof. And they didn't have any proof. Until recently, when the whole streaming thing. So it resulted in just a whole fuckload of drama. But it's not just drama. The mute button is on the upper, you know where it's at.
Yeah, I have an iPad.
I forgot to mute my computer before we started recording.
I was trying to do it surreptitiously.
Well, I fucked up. It's my fault.
It's okay.
Anyways. And it's just made this big kerfuffle because, you know, it's one thing if you're just tracing ass comics and doing comics and not getting money from it. But when you're tracing comics and people can look at your comics and break down
what scenes from the actual show.
Yeah. And from. There was this one comic that featured three different Luna in three different poses and a Fluttershy. And it was very easy to find out and point out exactly where from these episodes. And, like, some of them were, like, front page of fucking Google image search. But, I mean, it's not just that, too. It's like this is someone who's basically profiting off show assets. And Disney has a really draconian policy on, like, fan art and shit. They will come in and smack your shit down.
Is he doing Disney stuff?
I'm getting to a point.
Okay, all right.
But Hasbro doesn't. Hasbro doesn't give half a shit. They're like, all right, whatever. And so we have a situation where, you know, people are kind of afraid. It's like, is this kind of nonsense, this amount of money involved, is this going to make Hasbro take a more draconian approach towards people doing fan art? And, like, it's a real issue with, like, at anime cons and whatnot. Otakon being a prime example. Because this became a conversation amongst several of the other convention heads that I'm in friendly relations with.
Ah, the Pongluminati.
And, you know, that's actually a big fear, is that, you know, they would have to apply draconian artist alley rules and vendor rules.
We are the law.
Where it's like, all right, well, you can't do fan art of these characters. You have to do, like, OCs and your own art and this, that, the other. And it just – it's a nightmare. And, you know, we were kind of like – feel like a little on a razor's edge here because of it. The net result will probably not be that, but it is a possibility. And, you know, or worse, it could be the whole Hasbro comes in, decides, all right, you're going to be the con. You're going to be the only one. The rest of you can just go to hell, because there's a fuckload of money riding on. Conventions are expensive. There's a lot of money involved. I'm just saying.
And then you'd have to retire from pony faggotry, and you would be totally heartbroken about not having to deal with all that drama and shit.
I know. I don't know what I would do. I'd continue playing video games and reading furry novels.
Yeah. It'd be a hard sacrifice to make.
Truly.
So how much money is this guy pulling down? Is he quote, nigga rich?
70 grand a year running around going to cons. It's not the best lifestyle. Really? I mean, this guy's traveling 2-3 times a month, going to conventions, working his ass off. I mean, I wouldn't choose to do that.
70 grand a year, though? It's a good living.
That's...
Or is that before all the
expenses? That's probably before all the expenses.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because, like, after expenses, fucking nothing.
Yeah. It's...
Ramen. Yeah.
Yeah, he's living off ramen and Jaffa cakes. He has to import those. So it's one of those things where it's like, You kind of envy, like, yeah, he goes to all these cons and sells and makes all this money. And then you're like...
Gets mad pussy.
No.
No?
No.
Well, he's a famous artist.
Sure.
It'd be like Leonardo da Vinci and shit. Right?
I don't know. It's just been...
Suck that pimply pony cock.
One of a... just a fucking weird-ass week.
Uh-huh.
And I mean... And it's not like, all right, look, this show accurate. No, it's copied show assets.
There's a fine line between those.
Yeah, don't trace art, kids. You don't get better doing it anyway.
So now for some comedy.
Yeah.
So it took me a minute to find this on my phone. I'm going to read a thing that I tweeted at Saverin about a week ago. Now, this is... supposedly from Tumblr. I'm not going to say for sure whether it was actually real or tongue-in-cheek. It's one of those things that falls into that area that, knowing Tumblr, it could be real.
Unfortunately.
Or it could be hilarious. I don't know. So, post title. This is what thin privilege looks like. So I'm going to read this. I've been reading your blog for a while. I'm a trans fat activist, and I wanted to submit my own story of oppression. Thin privilege is not being harassed for daring to take up too much space on the bus. I am a trans fat individual who prefers to wear cushions underneath my clothing to represent my phantom fat and ease my transition to a larger state. I had to ride a bus home one day, and it was very crowded, but I did find an empty seat that accommodated my true size. Then, at the next stop, a bunch of other people got on, and the bus filled up. This one cis douchelord sat next to me and had the audacity to ask me to put the cushion under the seat so he would have more room. I explained that no, I would not remove it. My phantom fat is a part of me that does not need to be violated by any white cis assholes. I told him he could stand if he insisted on having space. I had to explain the whole concept of trans fat to the ignorant ass, and T.W. ableist slur is in quotes there. He said I was a, quote, total loony. At that moment, I just broke. I told him that he has no idea what it is like to be a larger person, that he doesn't understand the trials I face every day of my life. I called him a privileged asshole and a fucking creep. And then he started tone and language policing me, which is one of my triggers. I nearly had a panic attack. He then said I was insane. I then called him out on his fatphobic, transphobic, and ableist shit. He wouldn't listen to me, so I got off the bus early, crying, and had to walk the rest of the way, losing the precious calories I had gained that day.
Thanks, Tumblr. Real or fake?
I don't know. I'm like dying to know.
I read that and it's like, that's almost a step too far, but I don't know.
I don't know. There's some crazy shit out there. Wonderful troll if it is fake. But
so Fuzz,
yes.
What's your stance on content creators getting paid for their work within the furry community?
Well, you know, as a publisher in the fandom, they shouldn't get paid. I'm just going to rip up all these fat royalty checks and, you know, masturbate on them.
Then you can use all of that furry money to buy yourself a fursuit.
Yeah, exactly. No, okay, so what Saverin's referencing is the con staffer Fur, F-I-R-R. I think he's a suitor. I'm not sure. I'm not that familiar with him. Okay. I know he did some stuff on our staff. Had tweeted a screen cap from F.A. And his comment was, this is how not to respond to an artist's journal about their commission prices. And it was like three or four idiots that were all like, oh, this is too expensive. You shouldn't charge more than $50, you know, for I can't afford this, you know, just really unhelpful shit, you know, really kind of insulting shit. Like, you know, what you're basically saying when you say that is that your art is not worth this much. You should lower your price, you know, or I'm special. You should make it so that I can afford it, and then I totally won't get around to buying it anyway. But I retweeted it, and I'd seen one particularly stupid comment on it, and I made the mistake of replying to it, you know, and Tieran is kind of like, Fuzz, get off Twitter. Like, you're riling up all of our friends, because everyone watching this was like, what the fuck is going on? But no, like, I had a couple of guys go to the fucking mat with me, you know, defending their stance and, you know, yeah, probably a troll, but I've seen enough people that really believe this shit that it really needs to be brought up anyway. Like, I kind of want to do like a fucking PowerPoint presentation on how economics works for small businesses and for independent contractors, because they're like, oh, you should lower your prices so then you'd have more customers and therefore more money. And it's like, artists drawing, it doesn't fucking work like that. They're not producing widgets in China by the millions. You know, it is a customized individual thing that is created for you.
It's producing dicks by the doesn't.
Yeah, and they're kind of like, you know, for other things, they were like, oh, it shouldn't cost more than the parts and a service charge. So it's like, really? So mechanics make like $75 an hour, typically. Should I just pay him for the new tires and then give him like a $10 tip for rotating them or something? You know?
Yes.
Basically, this guy's mind, I suppose so.
Well, like, but, I'm actually, the reason I went over and grabbed my phone is I was actually looking through this, and like, there's a guy who's like, well, I, as a consumer, am within my rights to tell the artist they've lost a sale due to price and offer to meet in the middle. And the response is, hey, I don't think your art's worth 60. You should do it for 15. Is super disrespectful. And that's really true. This is one of the things I'm kind of baffled, but then not really. I think there was something you treated as like the nope coin, or it's like for 5 nope coins you get absolutely nothing because fuck you.
Oh yes, somebody came up with the concept that for like every time you say something like that, you get one nope, and it is like a currency.
Yeah.
Like a point on
DA. At five nopes, you get nothing.
You get fucking nothing, because fuck you.
You get banned.
And stuff like, well, you should be... What was it like? You should be happy that anybody... You should be
happy people want to give you money for your art, but you should do it for less.
Yeah, yeah. And also saying that art is not a real job.
Oh, my God.
You know, and then they were like, well, why isn't it a real job? And the first answer was like, well, there's no guarantees, and it could just go away at any time. And I'm like, well...
So could any regular job.
I worked for one of the largest companies in the world for 6.5 years, and then my position was outsourced to Mumbai, and I was laid off. So did I not have a real job? And they were like, no, that was a real job because you paid taxes and were accountable to the IRS. And I was like, are you saying that artists don't pay taxes? He's like, lol, yes, they all dodge their taxes. And I'm like... And one of my authors replied to me. It was like, wait a minute, you sent us those paper thiggies. You know, meaning a 1099 form that I have to send out annually. We're supposed to
use those?
Yeah, what are we supposed to do with these? Basically, what the 1099s do is I file them electronically, and that tells the IRS, I paid furry artist X amount of YIF dollars. And then when furry artist... gets his 1099 in the mail, he adds that to his TurboTax and his tax and stuff like that. Said, okay, I got YIF dollars from Fur Planet, and then I got other YIF dollars from, I don't know, Kindle sales or a yard sale, or there, here's a W-2 from another job. I mean, and now all that goes in there, so it's like these artists can't really... they can't all dodge taxes, because I'm literally telling the IRS how much one company paid them.
Well, that's like, you know, I get 1099s from
Audible
and Adam and Eve.
Yeah.
And they reported how much dong money and how much YIF money I've made. Mm-hmm. And if those two numbers don't add up to the IRS, they're going to have some words with me. And it isn't very much, but they might have words with me.
Yeah. I mean, you still got to claim it. I mean, if your income's under a certain amount, then no, you don't pay taxes.
I paid $300 in taxes this year because I'm self-employed, technically.
Oh, right. Yeah. But, well, for some people that have like a really low-paying job and they're not self-employed... But even if you – but not paying taxes is not the same as not filing.
Yeah.
Like, you would still file, because all that shit goes into, like, they take that into account in your Social Security for how much you're going to be paid. Mm-hmm. Oh, you made 10 grand this year, so you didn't pay much into the system, or you made more this year, so you paid more, whatever.
Yeah.
But, you know, all that was pointed out, and basically it came – what was the other illegal thing? Pirated software. They're like, well, they're using pirated software anyway. So every furry artist in the fandom is not worth any respect because they're using a stolen copy of Photoshop. And I'm like, do you have any idea how disrespectful that is to just be like – just assume that people are not doing what they're supposed to be doing, you know? It's just – dude was just totally retarded. Sorry to be ableist or whatever, but...
Yeah. People are like, too expensive for me. Damn, looks like it went up a lot. Ha ha ha, your prices are really expensive. I think they should be lowered down. I mean, a sketch for 30, no hate or anything, just my opinion.
Yeah, and that was one that I picked out in particular. I was like, in what fucking universe is a sketch for $30 too expensive? What was this dude charging before? He must have been way underpricing.
Yeah.
And you know, $30 for a sketch is not much.
How much? I mean, how many sketches are you doing an hour? What degree of quality are you doing the sketch? And first of all, if that dude feels that he can get that much and he does get that much, then congratulations. That's what they're worth.
Yeah.
And
I've had to explain this to a couple of my artist friends that were like, I don't want to raise my prices. And they're like, well, you know. They went to this con. They sold out instantly. I was like, well, you should raise your prices. I just did. Well, then raise them more.
On the Patreon side of things, there's an artist that I'm friendly with. Uh-huh. She has three $100 a month tiers on Patreon. That gets you a sketch commission, or gets you a commission from her.
Mm-hmm.
$100.
Right.
And those fill instantly.
Yep. Okay, I'm not surprised. I don't even know who this person is, but I'm like, they have a fan base. Some of her fans really, really like her work. Yeah, those are going to fill in
stuff. And, you know, it's like, okay, we'll look at a couple artists that I'm aware of. All right, there's the artist Ononoko. Mm-hmm. She's vended at Furry Fiesta, and she vended at BabsCon.
Mm-hmm.
And she does really cute stuff, kind of similar to Ajin Art, if you know that guy. Very soft, rounded, but well done. Very technically proficient.
Okay.
Her badges are like $65, and they look damn good, and they are sold out every goddamn time I've seen her.
So that seems reasonable to me for a high-quality badge.
Like, I look at the stuff that IDES did for us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. She's priced very well.
Yeah.
And probably, you know, a little low, honestly. Because she draws really goddamn cute stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And there was three characters in those pictures. You know. I look at an artist like Denny Butt. They do Pony and Pokemon stuff. And they are massively undervaluing themselves.
Mm.
Like, they do fucking canvases. Oil paint on canvas. And they charge, like, $100.
Well, like, our friend Noxie gave me a badge with a lot of the Furry Fiesta staff that had my character on it. And she was charging $35 for those the first year she was in the Fiesta Dealers Room. And I was like, this is $50 easy.
Yeah.
Probably more. And I was like, you need to raise your prices, because she sold out, like, fucking instantly.
Yeah, and she does all these WoW badges and whatnot too,
mm-hmm.
and she sells out instantly.
Yeah. I don't know what the numbers are now, but it sounds like she should probably increase her prices for the WoW badges.
I think she did. But, like, I was following her because I follow her on Twitter and whatnot. She follows me a lot.
Yeah.
She was like, all right, I have 20 slots. And, like, people were hovering their fingers, F5-ing her website.
Yeah.
So, like, when they, like, turned on the order now button, somebody got an order in, and, like, the 5 seconds it was active.
Yeah.
And then, like, there was a glitch, and they had, like, 63 applications for 20 slots within an hour of it going live. And I'm like, this is the demand this woman has for for art. And so she can kind of name her price.
Yeah.
And this is weird, because this is our perspective as consumers. Boy, I don't have a ton of money for art. But as content creators, as people that make and work with the other content creators in the fandom,
mm-hmm.
we want people to be paid fairly for the work they do. We're older and we're coming at it from the business side of things, not just John Q. Furfag, you know. Or it's like, I look at this stuff, I'm like, yeah, I can understand why some people can't afford this. Well, guess what? Art's a luxury.
Yeah.
You save up or you don't get it.
Yeah.
Don't fucking badger artists because you can't afford to get your picture of your character getting fucked by a horse.
Damn, I really wanted that picture.
You can afford it. You've got all that YIF bucks.
Right, yeah, yeah. But yeah, it's just, wow, they're using a background that is literally from the 90s.
What?
Oh, we'll go circle back and finish up that conversation in a minute, but I'm going to the Who Fest, Doctor Who convention tomorrow.
Yeah.
And the Who Fest website is using, in the wallpaper in the background is the gray roundels from the, 80s version of the TARDIS console room. And this same like roundel wallpaper I remember back, like, early 90s Doctor Who websites.
Nice.
Like, it looks exactly the same. Anyway.
But I look at Fur's post here, and it has 189 retweets and 215 favorites, and I'm like, yeah.
Yeah.
And the first comment is, wow, it's almost like artists have to make a living or something.
Yeah, exactly. And, I mean, just people, I just don't understand people. I don't understand how people have this attitude that they're like, how dare you make a living off of your artwork? I mean, I've even seen a couple people being like, you know, art is like this gift that you have and you should not use it to earn money with or something, because that, like, devalues your shit, you know?
And like, Art is only worth the person is what the person is willing to pay. Just like an auction, it is set by the one who purchases it. Making things cheap and selling a lot is better than expensive and selling a few. Quantity and quality are what sells. I think you engage with this guy.
Yeah.
Some dude in a fucking diaper avatar. He's got a gun and a diaper. Jesus Christ.
He's going to shoot the shit out of you.
That's not how this works. That's not how any of this works. You know, and economies of scale do not apply to individual creators and art.
Yeah, yeah. I think they're really missing the boat on, like,
a lot of things.
A lot of things, yeah. But they're misunderstanding the difference between, like, the massive amounts of stuff that you can buy in Walmart versus a service provider that is doing an individual thing for you, you know?
Yeah, but I mean,
you can't automate this, you know? If I buy 10 commissions from somebody, why would I get a discount? They're literally going to do 10 times the work. It's not like printing a run of T-shirts where once you set up the panels, you've done the hard work, and then you can run off as many as you want. There is no stage like that in drawing art or, you know, building something or writing something. You know, it has to be created from the ground up every single time.
Well, it's like we had that conversation at dinner about the miniatures being painted.
Right,
you
yeah.
know, it's like, the commission is what it is. It's not going to change. It's not going – if I charge you less, I just get paid less per hour it takes me to make it.
Yeah.
And that's not fair to the creator.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just one of those – it's astounding that we can still be having this conversation. I mean it's just damn kids. Yeah. But the people defending people undervaluing their own work, I mean you have to find that median, what the market will bear. But once you have a name, you can kind of charge what you want. And you won't have a problem. I mean, shit, look at all the Art November commissions.
Mm-hmm.
He gets all that stuff from Adam Wan and all these other top-tier artists. That dude's got money, and he's probably paying, you know, vast chunks of change for these multi-character commissions of his husky character getting railed by massive horse cocks. But you know what? He has the money to do it. And I bet he doesn't haggle or complain.
Yeah, and this is not the fucking slave market on Tatooine. You don't haggle. This shit, you know, there's no point to it. You know, there's no.
Like, all right, you don't have to draw my wings, but I'm going to take off $10. No, it doesn't work that way.
Well, on that, you know, you wouldn't pay the wing surcharge. A lot of artists have a wing surcharge because they're a pain in the ass to draw. Yeah, which was my concern with my Scapo commission because both the characters were Pegasi.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, they're NLP style. So he didn't charge me extra for the wings.
It's like they're on the back anyway and they're fucking. So.
Wing boners, baby. The, you know, wolf with wings, demon wings, angel wings.
Unicorn horns.
Unicorn horns. Fuck that. Wait a minute, a wolf with a unicorn horn? Is that a wolf horn then? Or how does that work?
And, you know.
The other thing I mentioned years ago was the taking it out on the artists, how much people are willing to pay for their shit. Like when you see, like I saw an auction on a YCH on FA. It's like, man, let's throw more acronyms in there. But if it was drawn by WFA, that'd be even better. I could have more acronyms. But no, like it had gone way. Oh, it was the Rukus was doing a collab with maybe Kenket, I think, and it was a commission.
That's a pretty high powered combo.
Yeah, and they're like, we're gonna collab on this commission, and it went pretty high. And somebody had replied with one word, just. Disgusting. And it's like,
well, it ain't your money.
It ain't your money. What's disgusting about it? These two artists are like, hey, we're going to do this thing. If somebody wants to pay them a grand to do it, that's their business. It's their decision to make, you know?
Well, and you mentioned this earlier. You know, this has gone back to, well, like, what, the 2000s?
Pre-FA days. Yeah,
yeah, where it was
Anthrocon.
Wookiee.
Yeah. Wookiee put up a commission slot in the Anthrocon charity auction. And this was a point in time where Wookiee was slowing down on a drawing. He only did like one or two a year. So like a commission slot from Wookiee was like holy fuck, you know? And it was the charity auction. So all the money he earned was going to go to the charity anyway. but somebody paid $1,000 for it. And then later on, you see people commenting like, oh, Wookiee charges $1,000 for a commission, man. God, who does he think he is? And it's like, wait, what the fuck is wrong with you? It was an auction, so and he starts the bid at $1. So, like, he doesn't have any control over where the money is going to stop on an auction. And B, it was for charity anyway. So your bitching makes even less sense because he made $1,000 for whatever the charity was that year. Just, I don't know. There's a lot of really dumb people out there.
Yeah. And I'm just going through this, and this the chain just goes and goes. And I'm just like, this one guy is wrong on every fucking level.
Yeah.
And exciting ways.
I don't know what was wrong with me that I just decided that I was not in the mood to work that day or what, that I actually engaged a couple of people. But I don't know. Normally I don't do that. But it was just so, you know, and I had a couple of artists actually be like, oh, man, you said everything I wanted to say. I don't know. I just don't understand people's
Why would they attitudes. Fight to keep a cheapskate client when there are others willing to pay what they're worth?
Yeah. And I actually had somebody else tell me about the IT business. Like, it was either computer repair or web design, where it's like, if you get those cheap clients, you do the opposite. You don't try to get cheap clients. Because if you get the cheap clients, they become a huge pain in your ass forever. And you get more of them. And they're all a pain in the ass. So you're taking up more of your time for less money, and as a business person, why would you do that to yourself? You know, any sane person wouldn't.
I like this. I saw this guy's name. I'm still reading this thread because it just goes, and you engage this guy way fucking longer than I thought anyone sane would. What does that mean? It means you're nuts. No, the guy's name Bleats by Bray. It's like,
oh yeah, that's a friend of mine. Yeah,
and it just like I read it like Bleats by Dre, and I'm like, is Dr. Dre a goat now?
Oh, Bleats by Dre.
And this is where the guy's like, lol, people evade taxes, and I'm like, God,
it wasn't Bray that said that.
It's
the other shit lord.
Diaper fur dumbass.
Yeah, don't bother.
I'm not gonna name him because that's pointless. It's just impressive. It really is.
I mean, we don't want to talk shit about him on the show, you know? Not that you can't easily find it based on all the markers we dropped, but
I'm just...
Like, Saverin's looking at it now, and he's just, like, more horrified than he even was originally, because he's like, oh my god, some of this shit, oh my god.
It's... And again, this is us coming from a different point of view than a lot of and the average
sanity.
Well, that and we understand the value of a creator's time. Like, I'll be fucking honest. It takes a while for any of my books to hit a point where I felt that it's been worth my while.
Mm-hmm.
But I do it because I like to do it. And I enjoy doing it. But I ain't ever going to get rich doing audiobooks.
Mm-hmm.
Not right now. Until I get if I get a couple dozen books going and they all start getting a little bit of sales, sure. Mm-hmm. But no. But even then, you know, I'd be mad if people pirated my books because I put time and effort into it and I feel that I should get some compensation.
Especially Divisions, because you had to record it twice.
Oh, man. That and. But hey, at least Summerhill should be able to go up pretty soon.
Yeah. I'm not sure when I'll have a time to work with that because I'm actually staying in Irving.
I Dropbox all the files, get to them when you get to them.
Yeah, I'll take a look at it.
I'm working on Uncovered right now. It's a good read.
Here's the other thing I want to say is that, yes, some artists are going to be too expensive for you, an individual person. You know, depending on your income level, you cannot afford to pay every artist out there for a commission. But here's the thing. You don't come at them whining like an entitled shit and say that their prices are too high. You know, their prices may be too high for you at this point in your life, but that's not the artist's problem. That's not their fault. And it does them no fucking good to know that. And it's like that this little comic I've seen on Twitter is this furry zebra character looking at his wallet. He's like, oh, I'm out of money. I guess I should find all the artists taking commissions and tell them.
Yes.
Which I wish that I could embed images in an FA comment, because I would just fucking reply to every single one of those comments when you see someone like, I can't afford that. I don't have the money right now.
Unrelated.
Oh, I'd do it if I wasn't, you know, X reason here, you know, unemployed, throwing feces at my wall, porking my sister. I mean, whatever.
And I did like that Likeshine, I think it was, put out the how not to be an artist in the Artist Alley, how not to approach an artist.
Oh, yes. Yeah, and she did it for both sides.
Yeah, she did
it
for both sides. Yeah.
Because there are, you know, just like any group of people, there are some shitty acting artists as well, you know, that people that you'll see complaints about them on Artist Beware and everything. So she did the whole thing, you know, from both sides. But yeah, the commissioner side was pretty good.
I retweeted that thing from Siani earlier. It's this picture of this chick. He's like 26 and still watches cartoons. And the picture of Megatron says, and you're like 16 and pregnant. It's gotten a bunch of retweets and a bunch of favorites, and one of them is a person I know who works on a cartoon. It was like, I'm getting extra notoriety. But it's just like, yeah. It tickles me. It's like, it's a thing that I agree with, and I retweet it. I'm just tickled to see who is retweeting it and favoriting it.
Yeah.
All right, so let's move on to the few emails we got here, because they're already at 40 minutes.
Fuck you, bitch-ass bitch. It's just a thing I saw on Twitter. I was like, okay, yeah, that is.
So we got an email from Kylie again.
Okay.
Subject, I'm sorry. I'm so, so sorry. In the name of my native state's capital city and the terrible half of the people who inhabit it, I apologize for the half-crap hole Atlanta is. It's always been that way, and I have no idea why. The Braves had the right idea, even if they do leave the Centennial Olympic Stadium to rubble. I still go into there often enough for some reason, mostly to the safe blocks. Your trans girl Pango from just north of Atlanta, Kylie Rouge. Yes, Atlanta didn't win this time, but next time we may not be so lucky.
I should watch my back and kidneys.
Yep. Because you're full of delicious organs, just so you know.
Oh. Why is that marked as unread? We read the Windows 10 one.
Yeah.
Okay.
But there's basically three emails here.
All right. Let's.
So we have one from I think Zia.
Yep.
And
one. I'm going to read this one because with the subject line, it is clearly addressed to Saffron.
Yes.
Put a cock in your mouth. Okay. So first, I just want to answer your guys' question of what keeps you going to furry cons. Well, I've been to two. First was Maltese FurCon in Massachusetts, and other than spending too much money and on the Rabbit Valley table, buying for Planet merchandise, woo-woo! Plug for me. The only thing that I enjoyed about that poorly staffed and drama-ridden convention was, note the listener's opinion, we haven't been to it, about that convention was meeting new people and making friends, just like in Ponyville. The other much more successful convention, Anthro New England, also in Massachusetts, was greatly more enjoyable because the con hotel was pretty amazing. The panels were well run and the con was well staffed. It felt like more stuff was going on and I spent more money than I should have in the dealer's room. Unfortunately, no For Planet stuff was there.
Aww.
So in summary, I know why, A&E was about the same time as Fiesta.
It was a week or so after.
Yeah, there was like another con going on at the same time. But anyway.
So in summary,
I think it is the people, the stuff, and the things, ; And now for the sexuality part of your podcast. I can give blowjobs like a motherfucking champ.
Oh, yeah.
The first time I did was with this Twinkie guy, who turned out to be a gay porn star. He's like a twig, and he's so flamey I got a tan from 20 paces. Receiving, however, I can't seem to keep it up well, and when I tell my partner, whether they be guy or girl, they get a bit dejected. So, Notcast, help. from the lab rat who goes Moonscorch.
Mm.
So, comment on that.
I've never really had a problem keeping it up with a blowjob. But then again, like, I don't know. I kind of lean back and think of the situation, like, think of it from a third-person perspective. But it's like you're leaning back and you're like, oh, yeah, they're just, you know, choking on it. And you think, think of it like, yeah, this is pretty hot. And if I saw it, because, you know, if I like that, I'm going to be like, oh, yeah, that's pretty hot.
And then you feel like the other tightness of the ring at the top of their stomach. And then there's that little tingle when your tip hits the stomach acid.
No.
Extreme deep throating. Or you're face fucking a midget, one or the other.
No.
Okay.
Stop.
I
don't know. It's I kind of focus on the back, focus on the act, lean back, and kind of go at it. I mean, it really depends on the proficiency of your partner.
Mm.
Like, if they suck literally at it, then, you know, if they're not good at it, then it's not gonna work.
It also, I mean, depends on you too. Like, my preference is not to get off with someone blowing me. Like, I don't get off as easily like that. I can do it if I'm like holding them down and fucking their face, that kind of oral. I think maybe because it puts me in control of the rhythm and the thrust and stuff like that. But if I'm just laying back and someone's doing it, it's not – I can do it if I just sort of turn my mind off. But it's not as effective. So yeah. I think that's a very individual thing because everyone's dick works a different way,
yeah.
Nerve endings and so forth, and which parts feel good, yada, yada. But whenever I've told – I haven't had this problem, though, that whenever I've told somebody – no, thank you, that's enough, and just kind of then we jerk off together or something like that, they've understood it. I think this is something that happens with experience, is that people realize that not everyone's parts work. And this goes for guys and girls, too. I mean, some girls need a vibe. Some can't get off orally. Some can. Everyone's parts work a little differently. And you shouldn't take it as a personal offense if your partner is like, no, 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 do this instead.
Yeah.
Because this will get me off. Or just hold me while I get myself off because I'm almost there or something like that. Which this advice, sorry, is not sound, is kind of coming at the angle. It's not so much for you. It's more for the people that you're with that are apparently getting discouraged.
You have to figure out what you like and then direct them.
Yeah. And I guess maybe just kind of trying to explain that to them in, you know, an understanding way that no, it's okay. I'm not really into receiving oral. It's all good, you know? And I'm like, that's a perfectly reasonable, thing to ask, you know? It's just something to, you have to explain kindly to your partners, and as they get more experience, they'll come to understand it. Yeah, not everybody works the same way, and that they've got shit that may or may not work for them too. So, yeah, I think that's the best you can do there. Do you want to read the third one, Tavern?
Sure. I was also looking at an Adam and Eve thing. We still have those ads for the time being.
Yes.
Why I keep coming back to conventions. Dear Fox Stuffers, this is the short one. Coming from a corgi. Ah.
You know, I forgot. We didn't actually mention on the show the topic of the show was supposed to be about cons.
It's supposed to be about cons, but
why you keep coming back?
Got like fuck all in terms of emails, so, you know, whatever.
That's all right. We can just vamp. We'll fill time.
Oh, yeah. This is still going to be like an hour long.
Yeah.
So, I keep coming back to conventions to see some friends I wouldn't see anywhere else. I have acquaintances and friends around the world thanks to the internet, but getting to meet people in person is a nice thing, and conventions are a great way to do that, and to reconnect. I can at least try to be helpful. I also find conventions to be a great place for ideas to percolate and bounce off of friends. Even when I leave a convention tired, I leave with a lot of fun ideas I want to follow up. Finally, I just find conventions a great break from everyday life, and sometimes that can be the best part of it. Hope that helps. ZM McCorgi. P.S. Buy Dude, Where's My Fox? By Kyle Gold from ForPlanet.com, or the ebook from BadDogBooks.com today. He included an ad in
the email. Yeah, to continue the sales corgi.
Yes, trend. He's very good at that.
This email brought to you by For Planet and BadDogBooks.com.
ForPlanet.com. Yeah, I mean, it's basically people are like, it's the social aspect. The social aspect. Well, yeah. I mean, I guess a lot of people, after a while, it's like, you don't go because of the panels. I mean, I can't.
You know, my first couple of cons, I maybe went to more panels. Occasionally, I'll go to a panel now if, like, a friend is running it or I want to hear their particular point of view or something. But, yeah, after you've – there's only so many, like, fursuiting 101s and art basics and characterization panels you can go to.
I think about myself. In the last few panels I've been to, I've been on, you know –
Yeah.
It's sort of like, right. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, huh.
Yeah, I think the one panel I went to at last con I was at. Oh yeah, yeah. FWA. The one panel I was on. I was invited by ReachN to be on the How to Get Published panel because for some reason he thought I would be appropriate as a panelist.
For some reason,
right?
It's like you know somebody who does publishing or something.
Yeah, and that was fun. That was an enjoyable panel, but I didn't go to end up going to any of the other ones. And I just kind of chilled out in my room. I also wanted to, since I tweeted on the Notcast account about this question, I did get some rather amusing feedback. So all my dealer friends were like money. So we heard from both the rabbits. I like money. Shiva actually replied, because they'd kill me if I didn't. Rama had booze and friends, and I believe he also mentioned, like, the crushing sense of obligation or something like that.
I think that was Shiva, but his was, like, being able to meet someone crazier than him.
Oh, okay. Oh, Shiva said a twisted sense of duty and obligation. Yeah.
You can't get off the ride, Shiva. What do you think you're doing?
But, Rahada had said, it's a place I can be sure to find at least one person crazier than I am. And, yeah, booze, friends, and money. Let's go ahead and talk about our own. Because, I mean, Zia actually touched on something that I always feel at cons, and that is the sense of creativity. Like, I love getting to talk writing with some of my friends and some of the folks I work with and everything. And, you know, when we're talking writing and we're talking publishing and just different aspects of this or that and layout stuff, and it just sort of makes me it gives me this creative vibe where I can't wait to go home and work on stuff again. And I know some of my other writer friends have kind of said the same thing. You know, they get all these ideas and go home and they have more things they want to work on and everything. And so, like I think I mentioned it in the FC con report. Like, I love just geeking out about a book that we had both read with NotTube, and, you know, just having someone to chat about a book we'd read was really fun. And it's not like I'm in a book club or anything at home, you know, so it's not really something I have access to. But that kind of creativity and camaraderie is really cool. And, of course, also for me, I mean, you know, the reason I mostly go is the dealing, sure. But, yeah, I absolutely see a lot of friends and everything and get a lot out of that overall. So, Saverin, do you want to add a few things in there?
I mean, I definitely go to get some ideas. It is one of those things you go and feel creative and like, oh, I want to talk about this, or oh, I should talk about that. I want to, you know, it makes for good story time after the fact, and you get to talk about the cool shit you did or the shenanigans you got up to. Or you ever watched a fursuit parade on weed? You know, stuff like that. And, you know, I'm not an artist. I doodle, I draw. But I don't like put stuff up there. I use my voice, and I like talking about the things I experience and talking with friends and possibly getting new ideas or new contracts. Use my mouth. You know, or getting new contracts for books, you know, because I read audiobooks.
Books, yo. Read a book.
Read a book. Listen to a book. Narrated by me. So, yeah.
Do you want to do the Adam and Eve thing?
Yep. So AdamandEve.com. We still have ads for the time being. We're up to $33, I think, on our Patreon.
Yep. Speaking of which, Patreon.com/Notcast.
So you can buy a dong or a fleshlight or whatever from AdamandEve.com, and we do receive a cut.
Something to fuck or be fucked by.
Or you can just donate to our Patreon, and we'll think of you when we're masturbating. Possibly.
Yeah, but not too much.
Yeah. Or I can moan seductively while cleaning my ear with a Q-tip, because Phoenix apparently are all about the ears.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's in Bridges, too. Have you read Bridges?
I have not.
There's a Fennec character in there, and the main character is like, I've never met a Fennec who didn't enjoy having his ears being played with, and Claire immediately starts nipping the character's ears and just, I could totally imagine.
Anyway. Because our coupon code doesn't really have a discount associated with it, you just get extra stuff, there's actually something new. The Fleshlight Flight Instructor, it's $55, and it is like a
small enough to use in an airplane bathroom.
Kind of. It's a very it's a very slimline fleshlight. Looks like a butt, mm-hmm. and the sort of semi-opaque flesh skin stuff.
Oh, okay.
That is designed to be easy to travel with. Because fleshlights are kind of big and obtrusive, and if you get the sex in a can ones, it's very obvious it's a fuck light.
So does it not have the hard plastic case that makes it so much bigger?
It's basically a basic ass – it looks like it could be
– it's like a jelly masturbator?
No, it's – it looks like it could be like a – god damn it – a – like an air freshener or something.
It does, yeah.
It looks like it could be an air freshener. Which you probably don't want to leave sitting next to your actual air freshener, because when people twist it off and it's like, oh, there's a fuck hole here. This doesn't smell very good at all.
I tried that new air freshener. I don't know why it smells like gum. Does it seem that appealing?
I don't know.
Especially in a nunnery?
Well, sometimes you just got to be creative. So at AdamandEve.com, you can use our coupon code NOT to get yourself...
It's a really bad habit.
Oh! Some extra goodies. But we can go to patreon.com/notcast.
Took you a minute there to remember our URL.
No, I'm typing it.
Oh, okay.
On this slightly laggy keyboard.
All right. And what's there, Saverin? What's there?
It's our Patreon.
Oh, my God.
Holy shit.
Ah!
This tablet is out of date and a little laggy, and I'm waiting for it to load.
It's a touchpad.
Yeah, so it hasn't been updated in like 2 years at this point.
And it never will again.
Just
can you hack it and put like Android on it or something?
Connect. You probably could. I mean, it's perfectly valid. There. So we have 7 patrons at $33 an episode. So we've got 2 patrons that are actually giving us 10 per episode, so I need to thank them.
Well, once the payment goes
through. Once the payment goes through, yes. That's the thing. It's like, yeah, you can. Oh, damn it. Anyways, we have patrons. We really appreciate you. And once everything goes through at the end of the month, we'll be really thankful. And make sure to start thanking folks on air and in the show notes and whatever else. Obviously, AdamandEve.com has not been doing a lot for us. We really need some fucking new equipment. Holy shit. Fuzz went robot voice earlier in the episode, and we figured out what the problem was. But it's just – it's sensitive, it's old, and we need to replace it. So
the problem is I'm going to a Doctor Who con tomorrow, and I'm all like, Daleks, yes!
Dalek.
Phthalate! Get up on all my balls.
So if you would like to support the podcast for as much as the cost – for the cost of a large coffee each month, just $4 a month. You can help keep Notcast going.
You could help Sally Struthers eat a starving child in Africa, or you could donate to our podcast.
Yes. So that would be cool if you would do that. We would think you're pretty cool.
King gear.
Yes. So on that note, I think that's about it. Are you going to a con?
I'm going to a Doctor Who con tomorrow.
Doctor Who con tomorrow.
Yes, so
I'm not going
I should
anywhere.
Go ahead and put that out there. That I'm going to WhoFest DFW with my buddy Teal Fox, who you may remember as my co-host when we did WhoFers a couple years back. So the sixth Doctor, Colin Baker, is going to be there. His companion, Perry, Nicola Bryant. Davros from the 80s era Who. Nick Briggs, who's the voice of the Daleks and the Cybermen and the Jadoon and everybody else in New Who. He also works at Big Finish. Jason Hay-Gallery, who's another Big Finish producer, is going to be there. I love the audio stuff, so I'm looking forward to going to a couple of the panels with them. I am forgetting someone. There was a fifth. Oh, no, that is all five. My bad. Yeah, that's everybody. I'm looking forward to just having a good time. It's going to be a smaller convention than Chicago TARDIS because, God, the 50th anniversary Chicago TARDIS had three Doctors and 11 Hojillion companions. So I'm really looking forward to going to some of the panels where it's just a smaller number of people, maybe a more intimate kind of setting to maybe ask some different questions or something. I want to ask Colin Baker if he'll strangle me while Perry screams in terror and have that be my celebrity photo op to reenact the famous scene from The Twin Dilemma where the Doctor strangles Perry. My mate thinks this is a colossally bad idea and in really bad taste. So I'll have to ponder. I'll ask for Teal's advice. I'll see what Teal thinks. What do you think? Bad taste or hilarious?
Hilarious, but it might get you thrown out.
Man, my photo op's Friday. I'd like miss the whole con if I got thrown out on Friday.
Still, Colin Baker could be fun.
Could just look sternly at me and go, "No, go away."
Okay.
I mean, I've met Colin before. I've got a great picture of him holding Fez.
So I have something else to add.
Okay.
So there's two more books coming out in the Pony book series, or two additional books. And this one you'll appreciate, Fuzz.
Oh.
There's Applejack and the Secret Diary of Chitcheroo and Fluttershy and the Furry Friends Fair.
Oh, my God.
Fluttershy goes to a furry con. Oh, shit. That's probably not what happens. But,
probably not, but...
But we're fur fags and we think that's funny.
We're hoping. Well, speaking of fur fags being fur fags, there's a... I've seen the photograph from Build-A-Bear being retweeted constantly.
Stuff your furry friends here.
Yeah, it's like, line up here to stuff your furry friend. And some of us like, oh, this must be Kit Fox.
all right.
Okay, so, yeah, let's wrap that up there. And hey, no Sheeta this week or next week.
Yep, she's going to be off on a boat, motherfuckers.
Right. I don't know if we have a topic or not for next week. We can think of something. Keep an eye on our
FA. We can let our patrons choose one.
Yeah, you know, that's actually a really good gift level. So
yeah, actually, I could do that, yeah.
Okay. So we'll do that. We'll figure something out. But that's it for this week. So good night.
And big balls.